Hi, and welcome back. I'm Steve Sill. I'm the commissioned lay pastor here at All Villages Presbyterian Church, and I am, as always, honored and privileged to be here in front of you today. And I'm excited because wasn't too long ago, Pastor Dustin told me that we were going to start doing a study on the Old Testament, and it was fit perfect. I had just finished with Gordon Conwell in a class on the Old Testament, a deep dive in the Old Testament, and there were so many things that I'd either forgotten or I didn't realize or recognize before, and it was really fun going back through there, and to be able to go through now and to share that with you is really a great thing. And I got just a quick story to share with you. When Pastor Dustin showed me what we were doing and showed me where I was going to be up here, and I said, oh, I know that passage. That's a great passage. That's where the Israelites get to leave Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and all that great stuff. Sound familiar? That was what, if you were with us last week, that's what John Tarrick talked about last week. So shortly after that, Pastor Dustin again showed me the rest of the schedule. I happened to notice that my scripture changed. He goes, yeah, we had to shift everything. So okay. So I looked at my new scripture, what we're doing today. And if you have gone ahead and done your homework and gone through what our lesson is for the day, I'm sure you probably agree with me that I went from the excitement of leaving Egypt to basically an Israelite wine party. And I'm not talking about who brought the glasses and who brought the Chardonnay. I'm talking about these people can wine more than my grandkids. But the cool thing is that in amongst the whining, the way that God responds and Moses responds, there's such a great story. So we're going to dig into that a little bit today. But before we go too far, let's kind of bring it all back together with prayer. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you do provide us with everything we need. You provide us with the needs that we need in our daily lives. As the Lord's Prayer says, you provide us with our daily bread. And Lord, we don't want what, as a nation, most of us don't want for much. There's so many people out there that do. And let us be mindful of what their needs are. If it's something that hurts your heart, let it hurt our heart. And let us help take care of those issues. And Lord, I just want to thank you for what a wonderful congregation we hear at All Villages. They've been so steadfast and so positive through everything that we have in the last few years. So I ask you at this time to let my words fill them. Let my words be your words in the meditation of all of our hearts. Be ever pleasing to you. You are a rock and our redeemer. As I mentioned, this is a time of in the Exodus of whining and testing. And we're going to go into that a little bit. But for a little bit of context, we're going to take a real quick snippet out of the New Testament. And this is from the book of Philippians. This is Paul talking to the church of Philippi. And what's going on here is I believe he's in prison at this point. But the church of Philippi and the people there have been made sure that Paul's needs have been met. God put on their heart to make sure that all his needs, his personal needs, his needs for being able to write to the different churches were met. So here's what Paul says. He goes, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then just a couple verses later, he ends with this. He says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ. Let me read that one more time. And this same God who takes care of my needs will supply all your needs through his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ. So right there, we're talking about that Paul tells us how our needs are met by God. God meets our needs. And, you know, kind of what are our life's basic needs? Well, Abraham Maslow, who was an American psychologist back in the 40s, put this chart together. And at the very bottom, it shows our very basic needs, which he has written as air, obviously to breathe, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, and reproduction. So that's the basic, and of course, as those fill up, you know, it goes up to the next step. But those are the basic needs as human beings that we need. Now, in this chapter, we're going to go through, again, the grumbling and the whinings and this, what all the people from the Israelites went through. But the book shows that, the Bible shows that the Exodus happened about a month and a half prior to where we are right now in the verses. And I got to admit that it seems to me that this group of people, more than any other group in the Bible, saw more of the power of God than any other group in any time. Now, we know the disciples saw many miracles with Christ. But what happened to these people, I think you'll agree with me, is pretty amazing of the absolute power of God. I mean, they were there through the 10 plagues. And as Pastor shared with me, that I hadn't thought about this before, they were witnessed, they were exposed to it just like the Egyptians were. It wasn't like the locusts only hit the Egyptians' crops. It affected all of them. Pretty much all the plagues affected them, except, of course, the last one with the death of the firstborn, which, you know, God gave them away to mark themselves so they were bypassed, which is where we get the Passover. But okay, so we get that. They've been through all those plagues. They were there when God softened Pharaoh's heart to let them finally go. And how did they know how to travel? Well, you know, they had a pillar of cloud by day. They had a pillar of fire by night. Pretty awesome displays of power from God. And then they get to the Red Sea, which incidentally was the first wine party that they had, because they were sitting there, they came to the Red Sea, and they happened to look back towards Egypt, and here comes Pharaoh's army. Now, I understand, they probably were pretty scared at that point, but they started right there. Oh, why did you bring us here? We could have stayed there. They could have killed us there. You didn't have to come all the way out here to be killed by Pharaoh. But again, God had another plan. And through Moses, you know, raising his staff, parted the Red Sea, they all crossed. Not only did they cross a parted Red Sea, the ground was dry. It wasn't like they were going through mud or anything like that. It was very clear for them to go. Of course, to get to the other side, God closes the water on Pharaoh's army, and end of that issue. And then one more, when they got to Moriah, and they were all thirsty, and they found a watering hole, but the water was bad. And again, they moaned and whined about how God got them all the way out here, now we're going to die of thirst. And of course, God said, hey, Moses, throw that stick in the water, and it'll make it good. And he did, and the water became pure. But this was just a start of the grumbling that the Israelites did during his time in the wilderness. So we're going to start jumping into the Bible a little bit, our verses, and we continue on. It says, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. He said, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. There we sat around with pots filled with meat, and we ate all the bread that we wanted. But now you just brought us out in the wilderness to starve us all to death. Now understand, you know, just kind of understand where they're coming from. I mean, they've been out here a month and a half. They're, you know, their supplies are probably coming from pretty thin. And they're in the wilderness. There's no fig trees. There's no fruit trees. There's no lake with fish in it. And they got to start wondering what they're going to do for food. But of course, like I said, they've gone through all this. They've seen the mighty power of God. But what do? They complain to Moses and Aaron, who basically are saying, why are you getting on us? But the interesting thing was, God still heard them. He heard their grumblings, he heard their whinings, and he decided to still take care of them. But in the feeding of them, they were going to be tested. So God took care of their needs. And if you've read through the scripture, you'll learn about how manna, dew came down, and when it dried, there was bread, there was manna from heaven, which is a supernatural way that God helped feed them. And also on that first night, it was interesting, he brought in quail. They said there were so many quail that you could swing a walking stick at and knock them down. Now, I told at the beginning that, you know, when I went through the Old Testament in my class, there was things I didn't remember. Don't remember about the quail, but I did research a little bit, and there's quail. I didn't know there was quail in the Midwest, in the Mideast, and they, you know, God naturally was able to bring them through and feed them. So they told them that God, through Moses, told the people exactly what they were supposed to do. And for the most part, they did as they were told. The Bible says some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everybody had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and all those who gathered only little still had enough. So it's amazing how that happened, how you could gather just a little bit and still have enough, or you grabbed extra, but still only just had enough. Each family had just what they needed. This is all from Exodus 16. So at the beginning, they kind of obeyed, and they trusted God. But just as we think that they're obeying, we are surprised a little bit. The testing begins. God starts using this as a test. He wants to know how they're going to be in the future, how they're going to be as the time progresses, as he tells them what he needs them to do. Are they going to listen? So the testing begins. But the failing begins too. You see, when some of the people went out, they were told just to take enough for the day. But some people went out and tried to get extra. You know, they wanted more. But the next day, when they went to look at the manna, it was already smelly and had maggots in it. They were told not to take extra, and they didn't listen. And then again, they were told on the sixth day to make sure that they got enough for 2 days, because they weren't to go out on the Sabbath, and that the bread would be good for 2 days. So get enough on the sixth day that you can prepare for not only that day, but on the Sabbath. But there again were people that went out and tried to get more, although it wasn't there. And this irritated God. And God asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? Again, it was simple commands, simple instructions, but yet they couldn't follow. And this kind of became a continuing theme as we go through this part of Israel and the Exodus that we see, with some obeying and some not. But their journey continued, and actually, it's kind of a spoiler alert at the end of the chapter where it says that they ate this manna for the next 40 years. Well, we don't know why. At that point, they hadn't upset God by not going into the promised land. But again, God tested them. He provided for them. He showed them absolute grace. And sometimes it just doesn't work that way. I'm going to pause there, and we're going to come back and kind of tie a few things together. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we see, even your chosen don't always follow your directions. But you show the grace to keep them safe, to keep them fed at this point. God, we ask that you would do the same for us. We don't always do it as we're supposed to, but we know that you are there and that you hear us. So we ask that you stick with us and show us the grace that we don't necessarily deserve. I ask this in your holy name. Amen. So as our story talked about today, the people from Israel, after leaving Egypt, grumbled a lot. And they didn't necessarily grumble to God. They grumbled amongst themselves, and they blamed Moses and Aaron. And Moses actually at one point says, why are you getting after me? I'm not the one that did this. I didn't birth you. You're not my responsibility. But God heard them through their grumblings. And despite of the grumbling, and despite of the failure to obey, he provided them with their needs, what they needed for survival. It's interesting, even after going forward, you learn about the fact that how much God took care of them while they were in the wilderness. You never read about where they got blisters. You never got where the sandals wore out, their clothes wore out. Supernaturally, God was able to supply those needs as well. Again, even if they didn't deserve it. So my question for you today, what are your needs? What are your needs today? Are there needs, basic needs that you need maybe God's help on? My second part of that is, so are you trusting with God? Are you taking it to God to bring it to you, or are you just grumbling? Think about that for a couple minutes. But at the same time, I just want to add one thing about where does God supply our needs today? And you don't see supernaturally, I don't see people in need having manna fall in their front yards. And there are times that God supplies our needs supernaturally, but a lot of times God supplies our needs when we're in the wilderness through other people. We may not have manna, but we have the manna kitchen. We have Sarah's kitchen. We have Matthew's cafe. We have people who was put on their heart to take care of other people's needs. So my final question for you, is there somebody out there that God has put on your heart that has a need? Maybe you've heard them grumbling or whining. There's just somebody out there that you can help take care of. Just a thought. You have homework. So this coming week, if you would, read chapters 19 through 24 in the Beginnings Bible. It is pages 113 through 122. Good stuff. Keep on it. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. He has a purpose in you being there. God who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, in his love, in his power. Amen. And God bless. And we'll see you next week.